We are finishing the book of Acts. Today is the last chapter of the book of Acts. So let's go back to our book. Book of Acts, chapter 28, starting from verse 1.
And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live."
Okay, now here is the story. Last week we learned 276 people with Paul. And what happened? The shipwreck. All the people, by the grace of God, were safe. And they landed to this place. It's a small island we call Melita or Malta. Landed there, and all the people. And when they came, when they say barbarians, these people are not Jewish people, they are heathen people, are not educated people. But these people are very kind, generous, and they were very, very helpful to Paul and all these people who came there. I think they saw the shipwreck. I think they saw how people suffered. They were already waiting for Paul and all these people to come to shore. When they came, they knew it was a rainy day and it was very cold, so these people started a fire at the shore and to keep these people warm. And when they came, we read that Paul also went and got some and bundle of wood and put it on that fire. When he put it on the fire, the poisonous snake came out of the fire and bit on Paul's hand, and he was almost hanging. So when those people saw it, they got so scared. They thought, this man has to be a sinner, a murderer, or wicked person. Because God saved his life from this shipwreck, but still this man is worthy to die, and that's why this happened to him. But Paul just shook that snake in the fire and the snake burned. So they were waiting this man to swell and die, but instead of that he didn't die. So those people were a little bit surprised. Let's read from verse 5.
And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god.
Few minutes ago, they thought he is a dangerous man, he's a sinner, he's supposed to die. But now they are saying, he is a god. So now they change their mind. They start thinking, this man is not an ordinary man. He is a god. See, people always judge people according to outward appearance. But God looks inside. God knew who the Paul was. And God knew why the Paul was there to help those people. But here we see, these people change their mind and start thinking, now he's a god. Similar thing happened to me. I was in India, and I was sleeping outside in the porch, and they had so many cobra snakes in that area. And it was a summer day, I was sleeping there, and it was almost midnight, and the cobra snake came and bit me. And when I got pain, I lifted up that snake with my hand and threw it, and I could hear boom sound. So I knew it was a very big cobra bit me. So when I went to the man next door and turned the lights on, and I showed him, I said, "What do you think this bit me?" And he saw the wound, and he recognized that cobra bite. So he said, "You're going to die." And his baby was 6 months old, having high fever and crying loud. So I said, "Can I pray for your daughter?" He said, "No, don't touch her." And similar thing, these Hindu people, they believe if cobra bites to somebody, means they are sinners. So he said, "Don't touch my baby. Because maybe God is angry at you. You're going to die. You better go to the hospital, or you better go and keep the lights on and don't sleep at least until 4 o'clock. Because they know when you sleep, the poison gets faster to your bloodstream. That's why what they do, Hindu people in the villages, they will beat the drums. Lots of drum noise, so you won't be able to sleep until the poison goes away, but sometimes people still die. And so I start praying, and I was so tired because I used to take a bicycle and go and visit people. Sometimes I used to go even the 100, 120 miles. So I was tired, and I looked at the clock in a dream, and it looked like 4 o'clock. So I thought, oh, the time to get up. And I was already sleeping. And when I say 4 o'clock, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I went out, and the baby is still crying. I said to the man, "Can I pray for the baby?" He said, "You are still alive?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Please, put your hand on the baby and pray." As soon as I touched the baby was completely healed, stopped crying, and fever was gone. Since that day, this man started believing that our God is a great God. So now these people saw this man did not die. They changed their mind, and now see what happens. Let's read verse 7.
In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us there, 3 days courteously.
Can you imagine this man, Publius? He's almost a governor or the chief, and he has a lot of land and a lot of room because of his very important person. He is entertaining 276 people or more, giving them food and shelter for 3 days. It has to be, you know, God's grace. Otherwise, in that island, if nobody cares, even though these people came out of this boat, they would have been dead. No food, no shelter, snakes are all around them. But God put some love in this man's heart, and this man took care of them for 3 days. And while 3 days, Paul is not going to keep quiet. Paul will be keep on talking about God and God's things. So somehow I think he learned that Paul could pray for sick people. And his father was sick. Let's read verse 8.
And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, and laid his hands on him, and healed him.
Now see, this man's father is very sick. He had a fever, diarrhea, and it's not ordinary, he's bleeding. So means his point of death is an old man. And I don't know how long he had these kind of problems. But Paul goes and says, okay, he went to that man's house, his father's house, laid hand and prayed. Instantly, that man got healed. When that man got healed, all these people may be watching. They were watching what Paul was doing. And when this man got healed, many people start bringing sick people to Paul. Let's read verse 9.
So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, elated us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux.
Okay, now, Paul lived 3 days in Publius' house, and I don't know how long they were in the island, because he says after 3 months they start traveling. So the island, whole island, they visited. Whole island got revival. And many people might have got saved, delivered, and set free. When Paul and all of these people decided to go, because the ship might be waiting there, he says, that ship was waiting there and they were finishing their winter. Ship of Alexandria, and this ship was going, and he said that ship had the sign of Castor and Pollux. These are two Roman gods, heathen gods, and they had the twin heads of these gods on the ship, like a sign of that honors. So Paul didn't care. Now those gods are not going to do any harm to him, because God is with us. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, in this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. I will not ask the Father to take you out of this world, because in this world many people are sinners. But we will be here, salt of the earth and the light of the earth. That's why we are in here. But we are living in this sinful world, but we should be like a shining for Jesus Christ. So now, these people in this island, they showed forth the power of God and the light of God, and many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now what these people did, these poor people, and this Publius is the governor or chief person in that island, what they were doing? They were loading all the necessary things, maybe food, maybe clothes, whatever they needed, these people start putting on the ship, and they had more than enough. See how God does? They didn't have any relatives. They didn't have any friends. They threw everything from the ship. And not only that, there was no ship anymore, broken to pieces. Now they are going to another ship and they need a lot of stuff. But everything what they needed, they got it. And now they are ready for sailing. Verse 12.
And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome.
Okay, now they went to one port to another port. When they reached this port, they saw the brethren. Means everywhere they went, somehow, somewhere, God brought some people in their lives. And here the brethren they found, and they stayed with there how many days? 7 days. I was surprised. Wherever they were not alone. All of these people with them, they might be going, or some of them might be stayed in the ship. But people entertained them. Paul and his friends, everybody, They got food, they got shelter. Keeping people for 7 days is not an easy thing. And supplying their needs. But God gave them the heart to entertain the children of God. And Paul, wherever he went, he was a blessing to other people. Okay, let's read verse 15.
And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appil Forum and the three taverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him.
Okay, now, when these brethren came, those brethren helped him, some of them maybe went with him, and they sent the news to Rome, and many people, our brethren, came to know that Paul is coming to Rome. And so though before he goes, all the people were coming to see him. And now, when he comes there, he was still the prisoner, but he traveled with these people now a couple of months. And so he made so many friends, the captains and other people. I believe some of them might be got saved. So when they came there, captain of the guard said, okay, Paul, you are free now. Free but not to go anywhere, but he could stay, rent a house or find a place and stay there. But we will still guarding you, we're looking after you, but you're a free man. Verse 17.
And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain.
Okay. Now, after 3 days, means 3 days, he stayed there. And after 3 days, I think 3 days he took, maybe he was praying, preparing. And after 3 days, I don't know how, but he sent the word to all these Jewish people in Rome. And he said, please come and I would like to talk to you. Why I'm in Rome, I want to let you know. And when the people gather, and he start talking to them, and they came and he started saying, you know what? I'm just a Jewish man. I did not break the law. I did not break any Jewish custom. I'm a good, solid believer. These Jewish people in Jerusalem, they arrested me and handed over to the Roman officers. And when they found out I did not do anything wrong, so they should not be giving me death penalty. And I was going to be a free man. But I said, I want to take this case to Rome. I did not come here to find some kind of problems for you. Sometimes when you do case against somebody, that means you are going to persecute those people. He said, no, 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 this is not my idea. I do not want any harm coming to Jewish people because I'm a Jewish man telling you about Jesus Christ, and I came here to tell the same thing, but I did not come here to do any harm to Jewish nation or Jewish people. That is not my goal. Verse 21.
And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee.
Okay, now they're saying, you're calling us, we are here, but we didn't hear anything about you. Nobody wrote to us from the Jerusalem, not a single Jewish man or not a single rabbi or Sadducees or Pharisees. Nobody complained about you, and we do not know anything why you are here. But this was surprise to Paul that those people kept quiet and they didn't say anything. And all these Jewish people said, why are you here? We don't know. And so St. Paul wants to talk to these people. Go ahead.
But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against.
Okay. Now they said, we want to know more about this Christianity. What is this all about? Everywhere people are talking about. Wherever we go and take the name of Jesus Christ, people don't like it. You can talk whole day about movies. You can talk whole day about soap operas. Talk about wrestling. Talk about any game. People are interested. But when you talk about God, they are not interested. And so people do not want to hear about God. Why? Because they are afraid of God. Once you commit sin, you don't want to see God's face. This is the way the world is. World, when they're committing sin, you saw some people on the street hugging and kissing. People say, oh, look at that people. They love each other. That's not love. That's flesh. They have their homes. When I first came to New York, in the subway, oh, they were hugging and kissing. And I'm sitting there and I said, Lord, close my eyes. I don't want to see what's happening in front of me. When I went to the park, and so I thought I came in the Sodom and Gomorrah aware. That's the kind of feeling I got when I came to America. In India, we don't see these things. Now might be there. Now this is almost 30, 40 years now. So India, I never saw somebody kissing openly in a public places. Not even their own wife. I never saw somebody kissing anyone. But what I'm trying to say, this world is full of sin. And so we are not only approving, we are allowing our children to do the same. And everybody's doing it. There's nothing big deal about it. But in the eyes of God is sin. So we have to see, once you are born again, child of God, wherever you go, you do not compromise, but you shine for Jesus Christ. Let the people around you see Jesus in you. If I start acting like the neighbors and friends and just like them, then I have no witness. They have to see, I see this man, never smokes, never drinks, no parties, and he's always helping, he's always telling about God, and he was always there to help us. That is a good witness. So that's why I say, these people are start saying, you know, wherever you people go, they're trouble. I want to know, why people hate you? What is this Christianity all about? That's why we came here, to learn more from your own mouth. See what happens. See Paul's, what he says. Verse 24.
And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost, Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Okay. Now when they came, and then say, Paul said, okay now, go and bring more people. We'll set a certain day. And I want to talk to all the Jewish nation, means all the Jewish people. And I don't know how many people came. And when they came there, where the Paul was having rented place, and so he had a freedom to talk to people, they came, he starts saying, you know what? You people are hard of listening. Means your heart is calluses. As I said, you hear with your ear, but like you hear he this way and goes this way. You see something, but you don't, just like you never saw it. And so this is happening to you people. He's talking to Jewish people. He says, why this is happening? Because your eyes are blinded, your mind is dull, and you are not understanding the truth. And so this, he's saying, this is happening, what the prophet says. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. That's what Paul is recording.
And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed.
Now, this is what the problem with these people. When Jesus Christ came, similar thing happened. Jesus Christ came and started talking to these people with the parables. And Jesus Christ's disciples start saying, you know, why are you talking to these people in parables? Could you give us some kind of example or explanation what you're saying? Jesus took this disciple aside and he said, you know, the mystery of the kingdom of God is given unto you. But these people, all of these things are hidden. So, same thing the God says, this kind of, some kind of blindness came to the children of Israel. They heard the gospel, they didn't understand. When you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, the God says, who shall go and tell these people? And the Isaiah said, I'll go. But at the same time said, if you go and tell, they're not going to listen. And so all this Isaiah preached, nobody listened one word of Isaiah. Jeremiah cried and cried and cried and nobody understood. Jesus came, went to his own, St. John chapter 1 verse 11, and his own did not receive him. Means nobody cared. The prophet came, and Jesus Christ says, so many prophets came and you killed the prophet. He said to Jerusalem, you did not understand why I came. You killed so many prophets. Their heart is hardened. That's why if you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and chapter 10, God says, now I'm going to give you a new commandment. You did not understand a word. And so here St. Paul is saying, you know, I went to every synagogue, I went to every place, you people are not listening, you people are not understanding, so I made up my mind to do something else. Let's read, go back to the book of Acts chapter 28 verse 27 and then we'll go to 28.
For the heart of this people is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
See, without salvation, without repentance, without change of heart, there is no healing. That's why God said to these people as soon as they came from Egypt. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Please read. He said, now I brought you out of Egypt. Egypt is called sin. I brought you out of sin, brought you out of the sinful world, and now you listen to me. If you don't listen to me, go ahead.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
God is saying, you saw all the sickness and disease and all the plague came to Egypt. You saw with your own eyes. If you don't want that sickness, that disease coming to you, you better listen to me. But he said, if you listen to me, I am the Lord that healeth thee. What is the message to the church? Do you know? Hospitals are not built for believers. Jails are not built for the believers. Police officers are not kept for the believers. Then why these jails and the courts and the hospitals are? Those are for unbelievers. If you are a believer, if you are listening to the word of God, if you walk in according to the word of God, here is the promise. No sickness, no disease can come to your dwelling. And that's what he says in here. They did not repent. And if they don't repent, if they don't change their heart, God cannot heal them. If there is no salvation, no healing. That's why the first message of salvation has to go to people. When they listen to the word of God and when they obey the word of God, healing comes faster. And some people will say, oh, there are so many Christian people are suffering and Christian people are dying and having all kinds of sickness. I would tell them, check if they are doing everything what God tells them to do. Are they eating the right food? Are they drinking the right drink? Are they taking the right rest? Are they taking care of their health? If you do, no sickness, no disease can come to your body. God has already put the mechanism in your body to heal your body. Jesus says, the sick needs the doctor. Jesus was giving an example. He said, just like sick person needs the doctor, the sinners needs the savior. He was just giving an example. Jesus never sent anybody to the doctor, did he? Did he say to that lady who came with the 12 years of issue of blood, and she went to every town, every doctor in the town, and the word of God says she spent every penny and she was not healed. Instead of getting better, what? She became worse. Now when she comes to Jesus Christ would have said, oh lady, did you see a doctor in a different town? I can tell you a doctor, Luke, who can help you? Did he say that? No. What I'm trying to say, why Jesus Christ came into this world, people still do not understand. I'm talking about the believers now. People do not understand why Jesus Christ came. He said, oh, Jesus Christ came to save us. Save us from what? Save us from sickness, disease, poverty, and every demonic forces. And he came to save us from the death penalty. Once you are a Christian, you are not supposed to be afraid of anything. What the word of God says? God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. But he has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you have power, what does it mean? Then you don't have sickness. Sick people do not have a power. They are weak. But once you have power, that means he has given you health. He has given you prosperity. He has given you everything. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. Not a single medicine will tell you that this medicine cures you 100%. They will tell you this medicine is good for you for 10 years. After 10 years, they will say, this medicine is bad. Don't take this medicine. Now we got another medicine. And all of these things comes because of money. But God's medicine works all the time. He says what? Mary heart works like a best medicine. How do you get the merry heart? The word of God says, the joy of salvation gives you merry heart. People are depressed. People are sick. People are dying. We have to give them message of salvation. Once Jesus Christ comes in, the depression goes out. So what is the solution? Solution is go to God. Call upon Jesus. Be happy, joyful. Instead of cursing somebody, instead of saying, I want to kill that man, I want to do this and do that. Just come to God. People do not have a job, so what they do? Do something wrong. Slash somebody's tire. Oh, he has a car, I don't have. Let's slash the tire. Let's break the windows. That is not going to help you. Going to make you more depressed, more problems, and more jails, and more persecution. What is the answer? Jesus is the answer. Once Jesus comes in, I'm not saying from this mouth. I'm telling this from the practice. Since 1956 until today, I did not take any medicine in my body. Not a single medicine or injection or tablets or anacin or Tylenol or any medicine. Why? Because this is the word. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I got the Lord in me who heals me. I have the healing power working in my body. And I don't allow that sin coming to my life. He says, stay away from sin. Obey me. Listen to my voice. No sickness, no disease can come to your dwelling. I want Christian people to be healthiest people on earth. And all the worldly people should look at you and say, hey, I never saw you going to hospital. I never saw you sick. What is the secret? Then tell them, Jesus is the answer. If you go to Jesus, you will never be ashamed. Jesus heals you. So here is saying, these people, they are not listening. They are not hearing. Their eyes are closed. And their heart is turned away from me. And they are not listening to me. So I could not even heal them. Okay, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 28.
Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves.
Okay, now Paul is saying, you know what? You people are not listening, your heart is hardened, your eyes are closed, your ears are deaf. Now God is saying, go to Gentiles. And that's what God has called me. And I'm going to take this salvation message to Gentiles. And so these people got more angry. And so they just left. They don't want to hear Paul anymore. Why? Because they got jealous. What Paul is saying, God is going to bless Gentiles, but the time is coming. God is not forgetting Jewish people. But that will not happen now. That will only happen when the church is gone to heaven. Then God turns to Jewish nation, and then they will be blessed. Until then, there is still blindness on the Jewish people's heart. Only few Jewish people are turning to Jesus Christ. Some of them call them Messianic Jew. Some people just call themselves Christian and completely transform. Just like a Jay Sekulow. You know, he's a lawyer. This lawyer didn't want any part of Jesus Christ. Somebody told him about Jesus. He said, I'm a lawyer. I want to prove that Jesus Christ and your Christianity is wrong. And he started reading the Bible to find out Christian religion is wrong. And he got saved. Today, he's fighting for the Christian people's rights. He wants prayer in the school. He wants having freedom to keep your flag and all of these things. And if you have any problem, anybody giving any problem, just call Jay Sekulow. if somebody persecuting you as a Christian. And they will send a team of Christian lawyers and will not charge you a penny. But they will not come for a divorce cases and things like that. Jewish people only can come to the Lord receiving Jesus Christ. But after the church is gone, and then the tribulation starts, and then they are going to call upon Messiah. Okay, let's read verse 29 to 31.
And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him.
Okay, 2 years. Hired house means rented place. He started paying the rent. It's not a government house. It's not a courthouse. He rented house, maybe a hall or maybe a bigger place. And people start coming. He start maybe like a Bible college. People come, sit, listen sometime morning until evening. And people start listening and getting education from St. Paul. And people start coming to him. Let's read verse 31.
Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
Amen. Now he says he was teaching, preaching with a confidence. That means whatever he was teaching and preaching, he knew what he's doing is right thing doing. It's not like a wavery minded, oh, I don't know, somebody asked you a question, Bible question. Do you know what the Bible says? Oh, I don't know this. This is too hard. This is a revelation or this is a hard book. I don't understand anything. The Word of God says, if you don't know, how can you teach somebody? You have to be sure about your salvation. You have to know what you preach. Once you know the truth, truth will set you free. And once you know the truth, truth is always truth. You cannot destroy the truth. Truth always be truth. So once you are preaching the truth, you have nothing to worry about anybody. And so he says he was preaching, teaching, and people were coming, and people were listening, and no man forbidden him. No man means what? No Jewish man, no rabbi, no Pharisees, no Sadducees, no Roman officer, no Roman government. Nobody did any harm to Paul, and he was free man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is much wiser than anybody else. When he wanted to go to Rome, he just simply wanted to go to Jerusalem, not even Rome. And Jerusalem he wanted to go, and all the disciples start saying, please do not go to Jerusalem. They are going to tie you and they are going to hand it over to the Roman people. Paul said, I'm not worried about hand tied. I'm ready to die. When he comes to Jerusalem, actually they tied him, and God came and gave him a vision, a dream. He said, Paul, don't be afraid. I'm going to take you to Rome, and you will be my witness. All the trials, all the tribulation, all this shipwreck and everything came, but he kept on holding to the Lord. And what? Every place Paul went, he lived Jesus higher and got people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Did you hear anywhere about Paul? He was complaining to God. Why me, Lord? Why this happening to me? Everywhere I go and this problem comes. Did he say any time? No. Why? Because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul once said to God, this Satan is buffeting me. The heathens and the Jewish people are just like a pain in my neck or thorn in my flesh. Could you take them out? Jesus said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. But the people took like a sickness and disease. No, God will not give you sickness and disease And when you pray, he said, no, I'm not going to take the sickness and disease away. That's not God. God doesn't want you to be sick. That is a curse. Sickness and disease, poverty is a curse. Jesus Christ went on the cross for that. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, what it says, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from what? Curse of the law. He says, whoever hangs on the cross or hangs on the tree is a curse. So Jesus went to the cross, took your sickness is a curse on the cross, took your poverty as a curse on the cross, took all kinds of problems on the cross, and that what? He said, with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. Then how can we say Paul was still sick? Some people said Paul was always sick. He could not get healed because God says, my grace is sufficient for you. No, not for sickness, for persecution. Read that St. John chapter 16 and maybe verse 33, what he says.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
In this world you will have tribulation, but in Jesus you will have peace. So what he is trying to say, be of good cheer. That means don't be grouchy, don't be depressed, be happy when you got persecuted. And then what? Look at Jesus Christ, he said, I have overcome the world. That's why he says, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for whom the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Means, he said, I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be thinking, oh, why me, why me? And look at Jesus Christ. He did not do any sin, but he suffered for you and for me. So my sickness, my disease, my death penalty is already gone. I'm not under the curse. Jesus Christ took that on the cross, nailed it down to the cross. I am free from sickness and disease. I'm not going to receive it. I'm going to reject it. So when you say, resist the devil, what? He will flee from you. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for St. Paul. He has set a good example for us. And Lord, when we have trouble, trial, sickness, disease, pain, suffering, let us look unto Jesus Christ. So you can increase our faith because you are the author of faith. And when we start looking at your life, we will learn that we do not have to be discouraged. Lord Jesus, give us grace and give us victory and let us shine for Jesus Christ. And let the people see Jesus Christ in us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.